Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it on live. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we reppin' for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 Podcast. Welcome. I am lifelong Seahawk fan Brett Davern, joined as always by my partner Lofa Tatupu, Seahawks legend.
Welcome.
On this episode, of course we talk about the Monday night victory over the Eagles. We get a first-hand account of what it was like inside Lumen from Lofa and our guy McNeil, who were both in attendance, and I'm wildly jealous. Also, I got beef with a certain team about their throwback uniforms. I'll see if Lofa agrees with me or not. And then also, we look through the standings and look around the league. Lofa tells you who's going to win each conference and who he thinks will be in the Super Bowl. But before we get to all that, special shout out to our sponsor, Wiener Schnitzel. Two locations in Western Washington, Everett and in Fife. Go on in and do something different for lunch today. They have their $3 meal deals. They got ice cream, root beer floats, corn dogs, Polish sandwiches. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Mention the Take 12 Podcast, producer Katie, for what?
A free hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, a free hot dog with any other purchase. Also, I'm planning on being up in Seattle soon, and we're planning on, I think, doing something for Wiener Schnitzel. And so look out for some fun videos and pictures and ways that you can ask me about my wiener coming soon. And we appreciate it. I love when Lofa giggles.
Famous movie quote. Famous movie quote.
What? Oh, man. A movie quote? Oh, yeah.
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 That's from Accepted. Jonah Hill. I got issues, man.
Hey, let's play the episode for everybody, because we came in hot on this one. We were excited. You guys sit back and enjoy it. And without further ado, here's our conversation about the game. Just when you thought they were out, Lofa, they go and pull themselves back in. They will not go quietly into that dark night, Lofa. No, no, no. No, no, no. The Seahawks, they're going to scratch. They're going to claw. They're going to peck. They're going to swoop down when you least expect it and pull off an insane interception to end a game. They're going to send backup Drew Locke out there to break everybody's hearts afterwards with his post-game press conference. Lofa, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you didn't even think we had a fucking chance, too.
What? How dare you? How dare you? I knew we were going to take it the whole time. I was cool as a cucumber. I knew we had it. In Drew, I trust.
It was a total team effort, but shout out to Drew Lock, minute 47, fucking 90 yards, whatever it was. That shit was wild.
Wow, man. I mean, that was, I texted the group, our group chain, and I said it was fun to have fun watching them play again. I mean, wow. Just the, oh, that felt like the old Seahawks there at the end, with especially ending it on defense. Julian Love, shout out.
Yeah, twice.
Whew.
I mean, that first interception was a thing of beauty. I mean, the second one obviously was huge, but the first one, you know, that kept them, that got us the ball back. That kept them out of another scoring opportunity. But the way he ran the route with the receiver, he was in control of the route the whole way, and he did the right thing, which a lot of guys don't do these days. I don't know if it's just not taught or what, but he looked back, he located the ball, and he caught it. And, you know, most guys just wait, either let the other guy catch it or get a pass interference.
Oh.
And it was a thing of beauty. Like and then he had the other one, unbelievable.
Yeah.
DK down the stretch. There's so much good.
Well, let's go. I mean, that's why I just fired it up. Let's just get into it here. I mean, because the game overall, and have you guys out there seen they'll put out these graphs of like how the game goes, or like the win probability percentage graphs. And it's great because the whole time it's on the Eagles side, the whole game. Dude, it was painful sometimes. I mean, you know, the guy's running wide open. We can't stop him when we need to. Third down, giving up first downs on third down. Like, it was a lot of the game was just, oh no, here we go again. But I guess that's why it's such a relief at the end and a release. And the stadium was electric. Were you there?
Oh, I was there.
Oh, buddy. You got to take us in inside Lumen.
He doesn't have a voice right now. Can you hear it?
No, I know. And I, yeah. Well, I mean, I knew he was there. I was saying take us into the stadium, man. Cause I'm so jealous that I wasn't there, man. I mean, McNeil was there. My brother was there. Other friends of mine from Seattle were there. I was so jealous.
Even when it was 10-0 and it didn't look awesome. And it looked like they might go up, you know, even more. The fucking 12s brought it.
Really?
Dude, you couldn't hear anything, but, you know, I know they couldn't hear. I've been there before on the field when it's like that. And you can't hear yourself think, never mind, communicate, you know, effectively. The place was going absolutely nuts. Where's McNeil? I want McNeil's take on it.
Yeah, McNeil, take us inside of Lumen. You were there with your mom. You were passing out Bobo Mojo buttons before the game. How did that go? Give us your full Monday Night Football experience.
So we got down there at about 2 p.m. and then started handing out the pins. And then there were so many Eagle fans everywhere. We were getting kind of nervous. And then the game started how it did.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that first interception happened, I think all the fans were like, oh, shoot, we might win.
Yeah.
And then after that second interception, oh, it was loud.
Yeah. My brother, I was texting with my brother. He was there. Took some of his buddies and stuff, and they were under the Hawk's Nest in, like, the standing room part, like, where they're all just standing up at the end. He said when JSN caught that ball, he's like, I just started hugging strangers. He's like, everyone was just grabbing onto each other and embracing tight in the rain, in the cold, in Seattle. Ah, Katie, I'm tearing up over here. Oh.
So I was for the last 2 minutes, me, Babineau, I was up in the Delta suite with Noriko and company.
Oh, shout out
to Delta.
Yeah.
And there's a guy on the other side that recognized me, and he was like, hey, come over here. And so went over there, took a shot, a rally shot.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it's all because of me, but that's essentially what happened right before Drew took them on that glorious drive to win it. And then a big play. I'm sure we'll get to it. I love that we're playing the game and the highlights.
Yeah, we're throwing the highlight package up here. You guys,
I love this.
Go to our YouTube. Like, check us out on YouTube. We're big on YouTube now, Lofa. Blowing up over there. Check us out, everybody. Yeah.
But I mean, we'll get to it in like, you know, another 5 or 10 minutes when we get to the actual 2 minute drill. But DK routinely coming up big at the end of every game, like he always, even when Geno's in there, end of the Rams game, a couple other games when we needed it most, the Browns. But then the ball he wrestled, that was an interception to Bradbury that he wrestled away with his left hand and just pulled it back for a first down.
You mean the one that was like off his leg and the sort of like it kept it off the turf, the shorter pass? Is that the one you're talking about?
In Bradbury's hands.
Yeah.
And DK just said, nah, that's mine.
DK on that drive was just like, I got this.
But I'm just saying, that's game over right there if he doesn't break that up and, you know, just knock it to the ground. But he gripped it out of the guy's hand, left hand. And, I mean, I thought he could have, because I don't know if he got contacted yet, but I thought he could have got up and ran. But just that play, I remember watching that live, and I was like, holy shit. That was a grown-ass man play, but that was a huge play in terms of timing.
Oh, having DK on the squad, like, I mean, just the other one that down the far sideline that he jumps up in between the two guys, he takes their best shot, and he just keeps – I mean, he's just so big. He's just so solid, and he's, like, crawling out of bounds and on the slow-mo replay on TV, like, his arms – dude, I was like, his arms are as heavy as my leg. Like, he's so solid. It's crazy. And it's a bit frustrating because you start wondering why they don't just do this the whole game long, right? But when they needed it at the end, they sure had it.
Yeah, I mean, it was double coverage. He jumped up, mossed both of them, and then he sprints right over to place the ball.
Yeah.
And right before that beautiful commercial break of beer we just saw was K-9 just winding back 30 yards for a touchdown. The game that he had was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I want to give credit to the O-line. It was mostly a clean pocket for Drew. He had time. One time he just held onto the ball too long for a sack. Another time we got beat. Jalen Carter just, you know, he made his way to the quarterback very fast. But other than that, so there was only 2 sacks in the game. It was a clean pocket, and they did do the job running. There's on 2 of his runs, there were wide open holes to go through. But on a lot of the other ones, when he was just making people miss left and right, I mean, some of the cuts were just unbelievable. And then the speed he showed, I think it was 80, 85 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
And we stuck to the run, like you were always asking for, like you said that Pete Carroll wants to do.
Yep.
We stuck to the run.
Yep. Well, and I was frustrated though, because a couple drives before the final drive, or maybe the drive before the final drive, I almost texted you because we ran it all the way down the field. Like almost every play, we're running the ball. And I'm sitting there going, okay, here's what Lofa and I want. But then I started thinking, when they get down close, they're going to just throw it and probably settle for a field goal. And what do? They get down close. They throw 2 times in a row for no yards. Then they hand it off when they kind of know we're going to hand it off. He gets nothing. It's like the chocolate factory. You get nothing. Good day, sir. And we only got the field goal. And I felt like texting you there like, oh, man, it's over. But then, you know, we saw what happened. We held on. But K-9, dude, he just makes such a difference when he's in the game. He must stay healthy and remain on the field. We're a different team with him.
This is the drive we're talking about right here.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
The one he went through, right there, he cut all the way back. He got 9 yards. Then he gets the, you know, first and 10, gets another 10 yards. I mean, look at that.
Yeah,
we just keep handing it off.
Feeding him the ball.
Handing it off, right?
Yeah.
It's too easy, right?
Yeah.
And so we get down to the red zone, and then we throw it 3 times.
Well, but on the final drive, when they had to throw it, they put the ball in Drew's hands, and the haircut came through.
Well,
man, he did what he had to do.
Well, this was big 4th and 2.
Yeah.
And that was a hold.
Yes.
Or pass interference. But I'm glad even on 3rd and 1, right there, they tried the – whoever the safety was came up, made a great hit and stopped K-9 in the hole. But I'm at least glad they tried to run it on 3rd and 1.
Mm-hmm. How about us getting some calls there at the end of the game? Finally, and they're good calls. I mean, but finally.
But it wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't anything. I mean, I think it was they let the guys play. This is like,
Oh, sorry.
What
I don't want to interrupt.
Hoping for.
We were just watching this. How about this play that didn't get called, actually? With about 10 minutes to go in the fourth, they sack Drew Lock, but they smash him in the face on the way to the tackle. And it's one of those things that we kind of don't want called, but it's weird when it goes on your team and is not called because they would call it for everybody else that we play against. And they didn't call it for Drew there. That should have been a first down. But we end up settling for the 43-yarder here from Myers. And shout out to Jason Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myers did the damn thing twice. Needed it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay. Yeah, this is where it's kind of like, okay, 10 minutes. I thought they were just going to try to run the ball, you know, grind some clock. I mean, Swift, both Hurts and Swift both had like 80 yards apiece.
Yeah.
So, like, I was terrified they were just going to keep running it. But they decided to keep throwing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he airs it out.
Yeah, and is this it? Yeah, I think this is the one.
Here it is.
This is Julian. Look at him lean, look and lean into the receiver and catch that ball.
And no help whatsoever. He's by himself.
Oh, he's all by himself.
Just out there, lone man back there. Here it is again. Katie's rewinding it. Oh,
yeah.
What a catch.
Unbelievable.
I was like, turn around, Julian. Turn around.
He had it the whole time, McNeil. He was just baiting Hurts.
Cool customer back there, man. Yeah, that was sweet.
What is it, 8 minutes to? That is a huge play. Because if they come away with any points there, you know, it's not looking awesome for us. Ooh, that was a tough one.
And then we get the ball back. We can't convert on third. There's that throw to Tyler. That was very close.
But
they
then,
get the ball back.
They get it back. This is where I got scared, all right?
Yeah.
And you start seeing Swift. Just getting carries.
Yep, and the clock is ticking away here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I have to say, even when they got the ball back at the end, they had all three timeouts. Timeouts are so important in the league, aren't they? And Pete loves to burn them early.
So here we go.
For whatever reason.
Beautiful pass out the gate for what, 14, 15 yards?
To DK. Right? Yeah, we're looking at the 92-yard drive here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get up on the
ball. So it was a minute 37. Get up, right? This is the one right here. Give me that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he still could have got up, but they're going to show it from the other angle.
That's the one on the coverage. Troy Aikman said if he puts it out in front of him, he scores because there was, like, no one back there on that slant.
Look at this. That's an interception that just got ripped out of his hands.
Yeah, you're right.
And, like, even Bradbury can't believe it. He's like, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah. DK's
right
like,
there.
I'm not
he
going
had
to
it.
Like this.
Nope.
Dude, DK was not going to finish that game with one catch for 8 yards. Come on.
No.
Come
never.
On. Come on.
Crucial 3rd and 10. Just give him a chance.
Oh.
Must.
Dude.
Must.
That was
and falls forward. And falls forward.
And then gets up and runs to put the ball down.
And then this
and
one.
Then this is.
The one by JSN. I mean, he catches the back of the ball. What more do we need to say? He uses every centimeter, every millimeter of his body to get that ball.
And I mean, yeah, beautiful throw by Drew.
Here,
and
you can actually pause it if you
Jason.
Want, Katie, because let's talk about the catch there. That is just, that's a rookie. That's the biggest catch of his career so far. Incredible.
Well, so, I mean, I think this is just something that we should probably take from this game is that every time we've sent him deep, he's catching it one-handed. He's catching it over his shoulder, like the location on each. None of the balls were thrown perfectly. That was a good, well-placed football right there.
Yeah.
But all these crazy catches we've seen from him are all downfield. Like, maybe stop throwing the screens to him.
Yeah, I don't know if he's this, like, slot receiver or whatever. let's
well,
go.
That's what he was in college, right? In college, you know, he ate up zone all day. NFL, the guys are, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. So maybe it's not translating yet. I know it will. Eventually he will, you know, be able to eat up zone coverage like he did in college. But right now, if you put him outside, which is what they said he couldn't do coming out of college, I haven't seen anybody stay with him.
Charles Cross wants credit on this play also because he schooled Jalen Carter. And he deserves some credit. It's like, hey, you know, you guys are going to give all the credit to JSN and Drew, but I held it down mine on that. So shout out to Charles. And
that's
then
why he's a first-round pick.
Also, I watched the different camera angle on that throw. There's like the higher camera angle. They showed it on the coverage, and I was pausing it at home because when Drew decides to throw it, when he winds up to make that throw, JSN is locked up with the corner on the 20-yard line. when Drew decides to let it go. So it's like he's trusting JSN to go win. JSN's trusting Drew to put the ball where it needs to be. It just was a thing of beauty. And because no one was open when he let the ball go. And they it's beautiful. They uncover while the ball's in the air.
No, but he saw a single, and so he's like, I'm giving him a chance.
Yeah,
I'm
give
just going to throw and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty.
And just fucking shout out to Drew, man. Like, everything he's been through, the trade that went down, right? And then not winning the starting job. And then it's just like, you know, just much like Gino kind of went through, like, he got his time to shine, and like, we fucking needed that game.
Yeah.
Like, season's over if we don't win that game.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And how about how happy Gino and Drew are together? What a bromance on this team. It's beautiful.
Before each other, yeah.
They're like almost weeping talking about each other and the sort of relation, or not sort of, this relationship that they have and this friendship that they have and the way that they were. You were in the building, so I don't know if you caught it, but on TV they're doing Drew's doing his celebration and Gino's doing it back to him, and they're just, you know, it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, it is, because only those two know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? I can't even speak for what it's like being a quarterback in this league and the shit that you got to go through on a daily basis, whether you're winning or you're losing. You're winning, it's mostly because of you. You're losing, it's always because of you. Like, that's the strain that's on the quarterback position. That's why it's, you know, it's a quarterback driven league. But I mean, there was a great moment to see that them both celebrating, and you know, yeah, man, both of them fierce competitors. And it's now I know everybody's excited. When Gino comes back, Gino's the quarterback, though.
Like, okay.
I think Pete even said it in the press conference. But Drew just won one hell of a game for us to stay alive in this thing.
Well, it's nice to know there's a guy back there that can get it done. And it had to give Drew a ton of confidence. And his post-game interview was special and humble and was really cool. Like, just the way that he said, you know, you kind of start to doubt yourself, but – like last week during the game, he kind of had a moment where he thought, you know, I'm the man still. And then he showed who he really is at the end of this game here. So really happy for him. And yeah, you know, it's cool. Like, what a year for backup quarterbacks in the NFL, huh?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. A ton of guys went down. And then, yeah, I mean, you got DeVito, you got all
Jake
these
Browning.
Guys shining right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Browning's balling right now.
Balling out, dude. Yeah, I knew it coming out of college, though. He just, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, he scored like 100 touchdowns in one season of high school football. He's a beast. He just didn't have the strength, but he's got it between the ears. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
high
like
school,
Tom Brady.
Bro.
Yeah, no, everybody no, I know, but what I'm saying is like he's got game that's like beyond what I think he's more of like a Tom Brady-ish. Just he cerebrally knows where to go with it, that kind of thing.
I always thought he threw a great football. I thought he was a smart player, but I don't want to say I question his toughness, but there was times when he was at UW and things weren't going great, and it just kind of looked like he was just like, I'm over it.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, I'm over this game. Like,
yeah, okay. Well, maybe some maturity then. Some time in the league has matured him up.
But, I mean, he always had the talent. Yeah. He always had the arm talent.
Yeah. Back to the Seahawks game for a second. The Julian Love pick. At the end, Eagles fans are freaking out because they're zooming in on the replay and finding out that maybe the toe, you know, was a millimeter off of a blade of grass, and they're out for blood. Hey, everybody, listen. Okay, fine. Let's take it back. That's an incomplete pass. You still only have 8 seconds left from that spot, and just, whatever. Like, just get out of here. And someone was like, really? We're calling this an interception? And I'll tell those fans what I tell my little kids when I'm coaching baseball. It's an interception because the refs say it's an interception. Now go home. Okay? I don't know if it really is, but because they say it is, it is. So
was not conclusive enough evidence
to
overturn it.
Get out of here. The kids on the team, they're like, that wasn't a strike. I'm like, yes, it was. You know why? The umpire said it was. Get back to the dugout. It's an interception. Get out of here.
My video of the play proves it was a catch, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got the best video I've ever taken.
Oh, we need to put that up. Come on, McNeil.
Yeah, let's see that.
It's in the chat.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll get that up there.
Oh. We'll go back and review it then. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, how about the Seahawks just dominance over the Eagles, though, Lofa? It started with you, and it continues. I mean, Pete Carroll has never lost to the Eagles in his time with the Seahawks, and it also proves that a mythical bird is much more powerful than the real-life thing.
Well, I mean, two things there. Yeah, on my way in, there was a Philly fan that was talking shit to us. He's like, Seahawks not even a real bird. I was like... You know that Rocky is not a real human being. Right? You know, like, you have a fucking statue of a guy that's not real, right? Like,
yes.
And, like, I felt bad because then everybody was just laughing at him.
Like, that's a good comeback, though. I'm gonna file that one away. I like that.
And I forgot what the other thing was.
No, but. Just Pete Carroll dominating the Eagles. I mean, we had we had Believe in Eagles on, right? And he's like, dude, he's like, I'm scared to play you guys. Mike, we can't ever win.
I did Mike Gill's. He brought up the streak, and the last time we lost them was 2008, and the only reason we lost them is because I wasn't playing. So, I told Mike and all his Jersey fans.
Yeah,
there you go. That.
Dude, we dominate them. Hey, speaking of that, though, and the final score and all that, this is a segue. The score prediction challenge, producer Katie, was won by somebody out there. The score was a sort of predictable football score, but weirdly enough, we only had, I think, one or two people.
One.
Only one?
Yep.
That went 20-17.
One on Insta.
So, yeah, one person on Instagram. If you have the name, you can shout it out later if you want. But,
hey.
Huh?
Nate.
Nate on Instagram. Congrats, bro. You get a
$75
gift card from our friends at Simply Seattle. Go to simplyseattle.com. Use the promo code TAKE12 to take 12% off of any of their fine products. And if you want to enter the next score prediction challenge, make sure to do that. It's going to reset at $25 for the game coming up this weekend with the Titans. The mighty Tennessee Titans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else from our game before we move on and talk about some other nonsense?
No, man. Everybody showed up and showed out.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, special teams. It was awesome to see. Won the turnover battle, ran the ball. Everything that Pete preaches, we did.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool to see it all come together. Next – date with King Henry and fuck.
Before you go to that, I just want to know, do you think Pete did the can you win the game in the first quarter in the locker room at the end of the game?
You absolutely know he did.
Yeah.
He lives for that speech that, you know, especially when it's a comeback. What do we outscored them 10-0 in the fourth?
Man.
Like you that was the first thing that he said when he got in that locker
room. I was thinking about it.
King Henry. I mean,
okay.
I got him in three fantasy leagues. I was in four playoffs. I'm only in one left now, which is ours.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys noticed.
I'm in last place. I stopped paying attention a while ago.
I snuck into the playoffs somehow
like
a 500 record, and I'm doing work.
Well, here comes that man. It's a Christmas Eve showdown coming up this Sunday with the Titans, and we'll preview it. In our second episode this week. But just real quick about the Titans, I have a question for you from watching football this weekend. Also, quickly, before we do that, though, if you guys want to head over to the game, if any of you are flying that direction, make sure you use our friends Delta Airlines. Go to delta.com, sign up for 12 status. You get a free – you get an extra mile for every yard the Seahawks throw for. Any Seahawk, Drew Locke or Geno, or if DK decides to wind one up and chuck it downfield, you get a mile if you're signed up for 12 status. So make sure to do that. And then when you're looking for an airline out there for all your holiday travels, use Delta, the best customer service in the biz, most comfortable seats, most on-time stuff I was reading, or they have a really great record with that. I mean, they're the best. So go to DeltaAirlines.com, everybody. Lofa, here's my question about the Tennessee Titans. I was watching them this weekend, I was watching Red Zone, honestly, and they were playing against the Houston Texans. Now, the Nashville, Tennessee Titans used to be the Houston Oilers, and they moved to Nashville and became the Titans. Then the NFL gave Houston a brand new team that is called the Texans. And this weekend, when the Texans traveled to play the Tennessee Titans wore throwback Houston Oilers jerseys while Houston was visiting. The whole thing's a mess. It's confusing. I don't know if I like it and what should be done about it if you were commissioner.
Yeah, I forgot who the home team was, first of all.
Yeah.
And it was so disrespectful to break out those uniforms against the team in the city they used to be.
It's like, a burn.
Oh, yeah. Not cool, bro. Not cool.
I agree. And also, like, what is the deal? I get that that is that former team, but now you're in Nashville and there's a team in Houston. Shouldn't the Houston Texans wear Houston Oilers gear?
Yeah, you shouldn't have rights to that uni.
Yeah, it's weird.
It should be off limits if you're out of that city.
Dude, I will barf all over the place if I ever see the Oklahoma City Thunder wearing Sonics throwbacks.
Oh, damn. You know? I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Or, like, it'd be like the Baltimore Ravens wearing Cleveland Browns throwbacks.
Cleveland Browns, yeah.
What is with Nashville and the Titans and how much they love the Oilers stuff? It is a sick uniform. That's probably what it is.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is a cool uniform.
It's a cool uni.
You know, that was, the Oilers were nice back then, too.
Yeah, Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
So you call foul on this, then. You're with me on this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's messed up, man.
Not cool,
bro. Not a fan. Okay. Not cool, bro.
Okay.
Not cool.
What about the rest of the league? Did you watch some other results? The Chiefs had a bit of a scare again, but pulled it out.
Who'd they play?
The
Patriots? There wasn't a scare. Didn't they win by two touchdowns?
They won by two touchdowns at the end, but
it was close.
Mahomes was whining, as usual. Travis Kelce dropped a pass. Taylor Swift was freaking out. Like, the Chiefs have become a soap opera that I can't look away from.
That would be fine. They're just waiting for... This is the problem when you have a lot of success. Like, you wait for the games that count. You wait for December. And, like, it's a tough area. Like, when you're used to winning and going to the postseason, you know, you get a little complacent. And I think that's what we're seeing. Because, you know, I know they still have a lot of talent. And their defense has actually saved them a lot this year. Mm. But it's... it's dangerous territory to just be like, okay, well, we'll be ready when January comes. And I mean, that's a competitive division right now, right? I don't think their lead's too comfortable. The Broncos of all – well, the Broncos dropped one last week, Detroit. That was surprising. Detroit gave the Broncos
How about
out.
Detroit? Detroit's, what, 10-4?
But I don't know who they play this week. They probably play Green Bay, and they're going to, like, lose to them, though. That's what's confusing about them is, like, they – they, like, lose the games where, okay, they should blow these guys out. They should not be on the same field together. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing that's got me not a believer in Detroit. I still think Green Bay actually finds a way to win that division.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And then what I was really impressed with.
Wait, no, Green Bay's 6-8. Can they? Well,
they'd have to go on. I think they can still win if they went out.
Oh,
yeah. I think they play. Do they play twice or they play once?
Oh, they might. Yeah, you're right.
I think they can still, yeah. I think that's still the best team in that division, regardless of record. The Bills destroyed the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I wanted to talk about the top teams in each conference here because there's some interesting results. The Cowboys slipping a little. I mean, Cowboys and Eagles both at 10-4, but struggling a bit lately, and it just has left room for the Niners to just be dominant. I mean, who's going to step up and beat them, dude? Debo?
Well, they got a Monday night date with Baltimore.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a good game.
I think they're at home, but that's probably one of the games of the week, right? To be watching because that could be a Super Bowl preview.
I think you said that is your Super Bowl preview, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Got you locked in on that one?
Well, I don't want to be locked in on it.
Yeah.
I would like it to be us and the Ravens. But, right now with the way things look, I think this is the preview of the Super Bowl.
Really?
The Buffalo?
Not
Miami? Buffalo Bills,
you're not going to put Miami in there from the AFC?
No, I'm not all in on Miami.
Really?
They look good this week, and their defense stepped up. I think they shut out the Jets. But
You think the Chefs are better than the Dolphins?
I think when it comes down to it, yeah, Like, I think the Dolphins beat them in London, right? Isn't that what happened?
I think so, yeah.
I think they played, and I think the Dolphins squeaked one out against them in London. But, yeah, it just when it gets to the postseason, the experience, dude, like, of being there. And it's crazy because the lights aren't any brighter, which everybody thinks. And, like, it, you know, but they put too much into the single moment. Like, oh, my gosh, the biggest game of my life. No, just it's another fucking game. Just go out there and play. And I think that's one of the things that Pete has always told his players that's helped them play in the big games the most is that everything's a championship opportunity. So if you're treating preseason and regular season like a championship opportunity, well, when the postseason gets here, it's another championship opportunity. I mean, it truly is, but we treat it the same.
Does anyone want to – oh, sorry.
I think there's a psychology to that whole thing that, you know, really gets the players to play freely, whereas some teams – they tighten up when it comes to the big game.
Who's going to take the championship opportunity to win the NFC South?
The South. It's,
the Bucs are 7-7, the Saints are 7-7, and the Falcons are 6-8.
I like the Bucs.
Yeah, they just beat Green Bay this weekend.
I mean, it should be the Falcons if they would just give Bijan Robinson the ball. Mm. But they don't want to do that for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he is that special. And it was kind of look what happened to the Bills. Like, yeah, you got Josh Allen. He's awesome. I mean, you finally ran the ball more than 20 times with your tailback, and Cook had like 180 yards. Like, it's
run the ball. Yeah.
It's no secret.
Yeah.
Because if they can't stop the run, I've been there before, man, a couple times in my career, and it's just so deflating and depressing. It's just like, fuck, man, they're running a simple power.
Is it just that it's not sexy? Is it just that you can't be an offensive coordinator and keep your job by just running the ball because it's not sexy enough or something? Because, like you just said, if the Eagles would have continued to run the ball, they might have pulled out a win against us. And look at what we did when we ran the ball, and look at what you're talking about right now. Yeah. Like, but if it works, why don't people do it?
Because I think a lot of these coordinators that become head coaches were quarterbacks. And so what did they like to do when they were playing? Throw the ball. They didn't want to hand the shit off. That's just the facts of it.
I don't know, man. Right? If I was a quarterback, I'd be just fine handing it off. I just turn around, give it to that guy. He goes and does what? That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's but yeah, you're right. It's not sexy.
No.
And I think also, like, where's the money invested? The money's invested in the quarterbacks and the receivers, right? Like, maybe you have a tackle that's paid or a guard that's a Pro Bowl or All-Pro, but for the most part, it's, you know, the game's outside.
Well, look at
throw it deep.
Well, look at what the Niners are doing, man. They're just doing that model. I mean, he has been throwing down the field more lately, but for the most part, it's hand it off and then dump it short, make smart decisions, move the ball, stay ahead of the chains, win football games, and that's the ultimate investment, isn't it? Just winning championships.
It's pretty methodical, the approach that they take. I mean, yeah, you'll see a couple short passes early because those short ones to Debo and McCaffrey can still turn into like 40-yard gains. But then Purdy, he'll throw it down the field 30-plus yards. I think he leads the league in yards or passes for 40-plus yards. Mm. So it's like it's not like they were afraid to do it. But they just slowly just pick you apart.
Yeah.
Get you creeping up for the run game. Get you creeping up for the slants and the drags that go for 15, 20 yards. And then all of a sudden, Ayuk over the top, Debo over the top, Kittle. They have so many weapons.
Oh, stop. I'm having flashbacks. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. If you guys want to go see any games, if you want to go to a Kraken game, maybe, the Winter Classic is coming up on New Year's Day in Seattle. You want to go see the Kraken play an outdoor game at T-Mobile Park, maybe. Of course, Seahawks tickets, any concert tickets or anything, use our friends at epicseats.com. They're a Seattle company. But you can buy and sell your tickets with them. So maybe you're even holding on to some tickets that you all of a sudden can't make the event. You want to offload those. Sell them at epicseats.com. Katie, nobody beats
Epic Seats.
That's right. Tell them Take 12 sent you, and you get 12% off when you're buying over $100, or you just get 12 extra dollars per seat that you're selling with epicseats.com, everybody. We're pretty much out of time. I'm going to hit the music. Sounds like judging by your voice, it sounds like you had a great time at the game.
I'm glad I went. I wasn't going to go. Oh, but then they put 51 Savage. They put my beer in the stadium.
Oh.
So I was like, you know what? You know what? I will go.
Wait, in the stadium? What do you mean in the stadium?
Yeah, at the tailgate party, me and McNeil were drinking some 51. Actually, it was sold out. Sorry, McNeil. I got the last 51. I get there. I was like, oh, let me get four 51 Savages. They're like, we got two left, bro. And I was like.
Was this at Touchdown City? Where is this?
Touchdown City, yeah. Right there in front of G Scott. Actually, I handed my boy Bumpus. I told him I was going to bring one by. I walked up on the stage. They were interviewing Golden Tate, and I just ran up and just dropped the beer. And Bumpus is like, who the hell is this? Because I have my hood on. And then he sees the beer, and I just see the biggest smile on his face.
Yes.
I dapped him up, and I took off. I was like, I'm out.
Wait, are they going to have 51 Savage for the rest of the season at Touchdown City?
Maybe at Touchdown City. Shout out to the Hawks. Alexa Coyle. Lex, she hooked it up, got us in there. Shout out. I'm not sure the food and beverage manager's name, but thank you.
Whoever yeah.
Because they got us in there. So, all right. Yeah.
Hey, if it went that cool well, they're going to have to put it around. Come on. We need that lumen wide. We need to be walking the concourses with a 51 Savage. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, as if I couldn't get any more jealous that I wasn't there. I'm going to have to hop on a Delta flight next time.
Even the can design is badass.
Yeah, it really is. Get your 51 Savage, everybody. That's it for us today. We'll be back later this week to preview the upcoming matchup with the Titans. But on behalf of producer Katie and Carly, who's over there, and the missing link, who's somewhere, and McNasty, and everybody around here who helps out, and of course, on behalf of my good friend Lofa, I'm Brett. Have a good couple days. Enjoy this one, 12s. We all deserved it.
Yeah.
So much fun. Oh.
It's been a month, bro.
I know. It's been a long month. Lova, break us down. Come on now.
I haven't been in this good a mood in a month.
Me neither.
I mean, man, I don't even know what to break it down to.
Good vibes. Good vibes.
Good vibes, and we're still alive.
Yes.
On three. So good vibes, we're still alive.
I love it.
On three, one, two, three.
Good vibes. We're still alive.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.